Well, good morning. Welcome to Crossing. We're glad you're with us here today. We're in the middle of a series called Running on Empty, dealing with the thing, the concept in life that we go through this journey, we go, and sometimes we never take time to refuel. In your car, you have fuel warning lights that tell you when it's time to fill up. You can ignore them, right? But you'll have consequences in the past and that will follow. And the reality is in our lives, the same thing happens as spiritual in our spiritual lives as believers. If you just ignore the fact that you're running on empty, you ignore the fact there's going to be things that come up in your life, warning lights that come up and begin to shift inside of you and tell you, hey, wait, pay attention. And so we've been looking at this through scripture and applying your lives. How do we, one, recognize, two, how do we begin to fill our tank? You know, because we can purge in our lives. There's the purge plus discipline. It equals health. When we begin to take the things out of our lives that consume our time and we fill them with discipline areas in our lives, that's when we begin to find that there's some health. We begin to find that there's some healing and wholeness in that process. And so we've been walking through over the last couple of weeks. If you'd like to listen to it, you can listen to it on the podcast. You can catch up with that. But today we're going to talk about the concept of filling your tank. We've talked about all these other aspects leading up to this, but now it's time. How do you fill your tank? Like when you're empty, when you're tired, when you're literally at week's end and you just can do all you can do, what do you do to fill your tank? And I believe it starts with the concept of this. What are the core values in your life? What are the areas and the core values that you face? What is your compass pointing to? Because here's what you have to understand about core values. First of all, if you don't define what you value will define you. If you don't define what you value will define you. Now you say, what does that mean? Well, think of it like this. If you don't sit there and say, these are the areas that are important to me, these are the areas that I'm going to put as guardrails in my life, then what's going to happen? The things that you do spend time in, the things that you do put your efforts in, that's going to become who you are. Think of it like this. If life is a journey and you're on a path and you're on a roadway walking towards this journey, values are guardrails in your life. They keep you from literally going off the edge. I don't know if you've ever been driven in cliffs and areas and you've been in the mountains, you know, and then you go and there's you like those guardrails, right? I remember one time we were in Colorado. And we were going up the Rockies and we were traveling up there and it was just beautiful. But when you reach this part, it's a dirt road. And Mandy likes guardrails, right? She's cool with that. You know, like that keeps you from going off. And on this dirt road, as we're going up into the Rockies, we see all of a sudden you're in a dirt road and there's no guardrails. There's nothing. And there's just this huge mountainside. And the whole time she's like, Zachary, stay in the middle of the road. Stay in the middle of the road. You know, like, I'm good, you know. And she's like, no. You know, it's just this high tension pressure. Because why? We like those guardrails. Because guardrails keep you from falling off the edge. And in your life spiritually, when you define these values in your life, it will help you fill your tank. So what I want to do this morning is just share with you some of the values that I believe God has been speaking into my life. Some areas that I believe that if when we place into our lives can help produce energy. I know there are things, as I share with you over the last few weeks, a lot of times when God speaks messages to me, sometimes it's from places I've been, sometimes it's from places I am, sometimes I believe it's where we're headed to. But this, just being very transparent with you, this series has been a place where I am. And I've been really feeling like God's just been speaking to me some areas in my life, not just talking about the values, but putting them into practice, saying, okay, I want these guardrails to become active in my life. And the first one is this, is sunrise. I'm calling it sunrise priorities, okay? Your sunrise priorities. Basically, think of it like this. How are your mornings, all right? Maybe you can relate to this right here, this picture. How are your mornings? You know, are you one of those that you have to have the coffee in the morning? Like, this is an absolute necessity. Mandy is one of those people. Like, if she does not have coffee, like, the head hurts, like, everything. It's like everything changes, the caffeine. Maybe it's not coffee for you. Maybe it's an energy drink, whatever. You got to have that pick-me-up that gets you going and things are good. How are your mornings? Because the truth is, I know for me, a lot of times, my mornings, they dictate my day. How I start my morning has a direct impact on my day, how my day is going to go, what I'm going to do. And so over the last, look at Mark 1:35. It says this: before daybreak, this is speaking of Jesus' life. Before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. And so we see that Jesus, as an example, one of the things he did is he found time to start his day off in prayer. He made a priority in his life. Remember what we said before, if you do not define your values will define you. In our lives, if you have kids, you go through seasons, right? I was talking to a friend of mine this weekend. We were just processing. He was like, they just had a newborn. They're 6 months old. And he's like, dude, my life has changed. He has three kids. You know, he said, I had the first two. If this third one would have been the first one, we'd have never had another child. Can anybody relate to that, right? He's like, this has been crazy. He's like, I don't even feel like I can function. He's like, my mind, everything is just mush. And he's like, he's just very structured and organized, but yet he feels in a disarray because of this shift. And when you have children, you go through season. I can remember people ask us all the time, we had three kids in 3 years, which most people say, wow. And that's what we said. Wow. You know, we had three kids in 3 years. Life was crazy. It was constant. And people say, how did you do it? Honest to God, I have no idea. Like, I think God gives you amnesia. Anybody else had that experience? Like, I don't even remember some of that. Then I see other people going through it, and I'm like, oh, I remember that. I remember that. Lord, help them, you know. But, you know, you go through these seasons of life. And so sometimes your mornings are dictated by your children. Sometimes your mornings are dictated by your job. And I've noticed that in my life, that in the seasons when I felt like I was centered, where I felt like I had energy in my time with the Lord, was when I put him first. Now, just track with me here for a moment. I know with some of your job, you're like, oh man, that's not, I don't know if I can do that and get up. But here's the reality. We all have 24 hours a day. All of us have the same amount of time that we manage. And all of us have the same opportunities as far as your time schedule and how you do it. It's what you choose to do in that process. And I know that there's seasons. So one of the things I've learned is, if I don't get up before my kids get up, it's not the same. So, like, for example, whenever the kids were in school and stuff, I was like, okay, I'm going to get them off to school. Then I'm going to come home and have my prayer time. And I'm going to pray and read my Bible and get going, because my schedule, I could fit that in that time slot. But can I tell you something? It was never the same. Matter of fact, I would get there and I'd be like, okay, Lord. And I'm trying to pray and my mind is already rolling. Anybody else have that happen? Like, my mind's already processing everything that has to get done that day. And I'm thinking about what I got to do. And I couldn't focus. There's something about getting up with the sunrise. There's something about getting up when you say, okay, Lord, I'm spending time with you. Good morning, Lord. Here I am. And when you begin to put that priority in your life, things begin to shift. Look at Psalms 5:3. It says, in the morning, O Lord, you will hear my voice. In the morning, I will prepare a prayer and a sacrifice for you, and watch and wait for you to speak to my heart. Psalms 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. I will be honored in every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. Psalms 119:105 says, your word is a lamp and to guide my feet and a light for my path. Now, this is easy to say, right? One of my ministry experiences, I served on staff with Jordan's dad, actually, Irby McKnight. And Irby would always have us, he would have us have early morning prayer. Lanny served on staff with him. He remembers this. And man, oh man, we'd go to early morning prayer at 6 o'clock. And we'd get there and bless his heart, Jordan, he always had Terry McAlmon worship. Have you ever heard of this? He's like this soft singing guy. And he's like, you know, like, you are great. You do miracles so great. Let me just tell you something. I needed a miracle then. I'm like, yes, Lord. I'm trying to stay awake. And I'm like, just Lord, please keep me up. We were so tired. And I never could figure out. Like, he would be at Pastor B over there going, oh, praise the Lord. He's just happy and everything. And it dawned on me halfway through this process. The dude went to bed at 9 o'clock, 8:30. He was like crawling in bed. And I'm like, there's a reason for this. If I'm going to bed at midnight, trying to get up at 6, there's a problem here. You know what I'm saying? You ever been around those that you think are just so spiritual, so great? You're like, oh, that's right. They went to bed. So, you know, the process in behind this, I know you say, well, I don't know if it's even doable. But what I'm trying to communicate to you is this. What I've learned in my life is when I put him the very first, when he's the first thing I do. And I'm not, the Bible doesn't say you have to do it in the morning. I believe God just wants your heart. It's when you make time for him. I think the key is that you make time. And you make time where you give him priority, where you calm your surroundings. And for me, I've learned that when I put sunrise priorities, when I put him the first thing I do before everybody else wakes up, I notice my days better. Why? Because I've had time to speak to my Father. I've had time to read his word that can become a lamp unto my feet. How awesome is it to have a God that allows you to do that? Amen. How many of you just skip meals? Like you just say, I'm not going to eat forever. At some point, your body's going to catch up to you and say, you're going to eat, right? Even if you eat one meal a day, you're going to eat. Spiritually, it's incredible when you actually put time in the morning and you begin to allow him to speak. Because I can't tell you how many times scriptures I've read apply directly to my day. The second value that I believe in my life that God has begun to show me is to fight for your family. To fight for your family. Think of it like this. A lot of people will love your family, but few will fight for it. Let me say that one more time. A lot of people will love your family, miss your family if you're gone. They love you, but very few, you can count on one hand, that will fight for your family. And that's one of the only areas that only you can fight for your family. You see, so oftentimes we get focused with work. We get focused with other aspects of life. We go, 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 go. And the only communication we have with our family is logistics, is business. Hey, have you done this? Hey, have you got this? Hey, are you picking up so-and-so? Are you doing this? Hey, have we paid this bill? Have you done this? And our communication becomes all about logistics and not about relationships. And if you don't fight for your family, this war will dictate your family. Those values, if you're not defined, they're going to define you. You're going to be so consumed with work, so consumed with life, with ball. You know, I'm taking this kid to practice. Are you taking him from practice? Who's picking him up from practice? Who's going here? Who's doing this? Who's doing that? You know, at some point, you've heard this said that parents, as you get older, you feel like a glorified taxi driver. There is truth in that. Amen. If you have teenagers, I mean, I got to pick him up. This past week, Eli's been at football camp. Gracie's been at band camp. I got to pick him up, pick her up, take her, take him, pick him. In between, we got to get lunch, got to get them. And you're just going, whoa, like where does this happen? You become this glorified taxi driver in your mind. But the reality is you make them a priority. You say, you know what? I value you and I value what you do. But the reality is it can't just be about logistics. There has to be relationship. There has to be more to it. There's an old quote that says this, the darkest place of any lighthouse is always at its base. Think about that. The darkest place of any lighthouse is always at its base. Your light might be shining for everyone else, but if you don't take care of the family, if you don't fight for your family, then you're going to miss out. Mark 8:36 says this, and what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? When you define soul, when you look that up and study that out, you know what your soul means? Everything tied to you, connected to you, including what? Your family, your kids. It's the connection to you. It's that that is bound to you. And so when you look at this, what does it profit you if you get every promotion at work, but you don't have your family? What does it profit you if you do all this work for the Lord, but you don't fight for your family? At the end of the day, people fade. People will go. Those will love you. Those will hate you. They're going to fly away. But you know who's going to stay there, be the ones for you? Your family. And if you don't fight for them, if you don't say, you know what, this is what I value most, outside of my relationship with God, this is what I value most, then guess what? You're going to miss out one of the greatest opportunities in your life. Howard Hendricks has a quote, which is so powerful. He says, succeeding in business and failing at home is a cop-out. For no success in the workplace will ever make up for a failure at home. Let that sink in. That's deep. It doesn't matter how successful we can be. If we do not fight for our family, we're missing out. What profit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? In Nehemiah chapter 4, we see an example where Nehemiah, they're rebuilding the wall. And their enemies came in trying to distract them, trying to get them off course. In Nehemiah 4:14, it says, When I saw their fear, I rose up and spoke to the nobles and the officials and the rest of the people. I says, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. Doing what? Fight for your family. So the first value that that gives me energy and has taught me is that sunrise priority, putting God first in my life, not just in decisions, but making priority, getting alone time with him. The second one I see is fighting for my family, making sure family is a value, that my kids, my wife, they know that I value them, that I care for them, not just by my words, but by my actions. The third area, the value that God's been speaking to me, is learn how to take a real rest. Learn to take a real rest. And this comes from the scripture that spoke to me in Matthew 11:29. It says, are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. And this is something, God, this is a scripture God's just been burning in me lately. Learn how to take a real rest. We take breaks, we take vacations, and then we need vacations from vacations. Because we go, and we don't truly slow down and rest. I believe part of the problem before this is our digital world. In our digital world, it is extremely difficult to find rest and get away. Believe it or not, this is actually a true picture. There's no Photoshop here. This is happening in China and in different places around the world. They're putting in cell phone walkways. No kidding. It says cell phones, if you're walking, you walk this way. You have no cell phone, you can actually walk like normal people. Why did they do this? Because they're literally having problems with people running into each other, texting. I was reading up on this. Las Vegas has enacted a law. They're trying to enact a law where you can, no kidding, no texting and walking. I mean, no kidding. It's not even a joke. Why? Because they're having people walk out in front of cars because they're not paying attention. Our digital world has literally consumed us. We're texting, we're reading, we're following up on things. We have the world literally in our hands. It's constantly this digital world. And we find it hard to concentrate. And I believe to take a real rest, sometimes you literally have to unplug. You have to say, you know what, Lord, I'm gonna take all this away and I'm going to simply focus on you. Take a rest. Psalms 127:2 says it's useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late, anxiously working for food to eat. For God gives rest to his loved ones. Meaning what? That if you would just unplug, if you would not worry about the work and everything that's constantly consuming you, you would take a break. You see it. We've all do it. You know, you go, you've been at a restaurant, you're sitting there eating, and you see the whole, like, literally, people just sit there on their phones the entire time, don't even talk to each other. Like, there's no even communication. It's just, boom. Kids are playing games. There's just constantly this digital world. We're consumed in it. The truth is, sometimes the only way to take a rest is to unplug. Cal Newport has several books on this concept, and one of them called Deep Work. And in that, he talks about some different concepts. It's very interesting. One of them, he talks about a digital sunrise and a digital sunset. What would it look like in your life if you literally had a time where there was no internet, you're not even going to look at your phone, you can't look at your email, you can't read anything. It's a digital sunset, like it's done. Like, let's just say 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock, boom, TV, everything goes off. Some of you would probably die, right? You would need, like, resuscitation here. You're like, you know, it's like this because your phone has become this attachment to your hand, right? It's like I'm constantly digitally stimulated. What would it look like? Another concept, he says, what would it look like if you had a digital Sabbath? If you had a day where you actually said, no phones, nothing. Like, I'm not going to do anything that has digital. What would that look like in your life? What would it look like? Last night, We were getting ready for bed. We'd come home, and it was funny. Eli, I was getting tickled with him because he said, "Hey, can I go play PS4? I'm like, "No, you already played. You're good today." He's like, "Okay." He's like, "Can I? Let's watch a show as a family." No, Harrison was doing some work with his leg. I said, "No, we're not going to do that." He's like, "Okay." It's funny. He's like, "I don't want to play that." I said, "Yeah, put your phone down. You're good." He said, "Let's just talk." And he sat there for a minute. He goes, "This is so funny." He's sitting there. He goes, "Can I go practice band?" I'm like, "Are you serious?" "Yeah, go practice band." And it just cracked me up. I looked at Manny. I said, "This is so funny. Like, when you take away all of our digital sense, like, I don't remember the last time he said, 'Can I practice?' You know, that's usually not in his vocabulary." And I'm like, "Whoa," you know, it's just funny. When you take away all of these distractions, you find yourself that you might be able to do a whole lot more than you think. Because that digital world sucks you in. It's like a digital black hole. You're sucked into this vortex, and before you know it, you're like consumed. What would it look like if you just unplugged for a moment? If you looked at your spouse, you looked at your kids, and you spent time. For me, what I've learned, that as I've unplugged, because I've been doing that over the last few weeks, I'm not telling you something I haven't done. I've been doing that, and as I've noticed, man, I'm getting a lot more done. I'm enjoying things a lot more, and I'm finding that I'm a lot more rested. It's just a value I believe that God's placing inside of me that I wanted to share with you. The next one is another one I've been processing, called to accept, or I may actually say embrace, the Tupperware life. I know you're saying, exactly what in the world does that mean? How many of you remember the old Tupperware? Go ahead and put this up. Look at this. Do you remember this stuff? A show of hands. I'm curious. Like, I grew up on this stuff. Like, that stuff was like the hardest plastic ever, you know, and those bowls. And have you ever tried to put a Tupperware lid on, right? You know, it's like you get one end on and you work on it, and pop, the next end comes up. And you're like, "Are you serious?" Like, it's so hard to get everything square and get it on there. And one of the things I've been noticing in life, in growing up through life and studying and reading, we all want balance, right? We want to balance, live a balanced life. That's the thing. Let's like, "Oh, I want my finances to be key. I want my health to be key. I want my relationship with God." And I have all these values, and we want this balance. But one of the things I'm beginning to accept and embrace and realize, there's no such thing as balance. Have you noticed that? I look back on my life, on areas when my physical fitness was at its peak, other areas were lacking. In areas where my spiritual relationship with God was just, man, it was strong, relationships were lacking. Other relationships were lacking. Finances, when finances were hitting, other areas were lacking. It's like nothing could ever be balanced at the same time. You remember riding a bike? You had training wheels, like you're riding this bike, and then you think like you're a hot snot, right? Like you're riding this bike, but the wheels are keeping you in check. And then you take those wheels off and you're like, boom, you know, like you got to learn to balance. But even when you're riding that bike, do you ever have perfect balance? No. At any given time, you can lean the wrong way. You can do the wrong thing and boom, you fall over. And we wonder why. Why is there this imbalance in our lives? And I believe it's scriptural, because in Proverbs 3, verse 4 through 7, it tells us, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understandings, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." And it goes beyond that. It says, "Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil." That trusting factor, Your balance in life comes through following Christ, through seeking him, putting him first in your life. In Jeremiah 17, verse 5 through 10, this really spoke to me. It says, "This is what the Lord said. Cursed are the people who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strengths and turn their hearts away from the Lord. They are like stunted shrubs in the desert with no hope or future. They will live in barren wilderness and uninhabited salty land. But blessed are those whose trust is in the Lord, have made their hope and confidence. They are like the trees planted among a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by the long months of drought. Their leaves stay green, never stop producing fruit. The human heart is most deceitful of all things, desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? But the Lord search all the hearts and examine the secret motives. And I give the people their due rewards according to what their actions deserve. Saying what? See, God is searching for that. He's looking for those who are seeking him, who realize that balance, that peace really comes in knowing him. It comes in trusting him. So the sunrise priorities, putting God first, fighting for your family, removing the digital distractions, and accepting the Tupperware life, saying, you know what, Lord? I'm going to focus on you. I'm going to trust in you. And the last value that God's been speaking in my life is leaving a legacy. You know, you think so many times in our lives up to a certain age, you're thinking about what am I going to achieve? But at some point in your life, you start saying, what am I going to leave behind? And I believe that happens very much so with your children, with your family. Manny and I were talking about this one day, and she made a statement that I haven't forgot. She said, you know what? The Lord may never call us to pastor some large mega church or anything like that. That may not ever happen. She said, but if we invest in our children and we leave that legacy with them, she said, that's the greatest achievement I think we could ever have. And I told her, I said, you're absolutely right. Because that's a legacy. What are your kids learning from you? What are they following up? You know, Gracie, our oldest, she's a freshman in high school this year, which is shocking to us. And Mandy hates it when I say this, but I keep saying we have 4 years left. What I want her to know in 4 years. And he's like, stop it. I don't want to hear about it. But the reality is it's true. You have 4 years. You stop and think. You may think your kids are young. If they're 10, you got about 8 years left. Or 12, you got 6 years left. What are you doing? What legacy? They're 16, you got two. What do you want them to learn? What do you want them to know? What legacy are you leaving behind? You see, it doesn't start just with the world. It starts with your family. 1 Chronicles 28:2 says a story of David. David's nearing the end of his life. He's achieved great things, and he feels a call to build a temple. But God speaks to him and says, no, look at 28:2. It says, David rose to his feet and said, my brothers, my people, it was my desire to build a temple where the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, God's footstool, could rest permanently. I made the necessary preparations for building it. But he said to me, your son Solomon will build my temple in the courtyards, for I have chosen him as my son. And I will be his father. When you look at this, how hard that must have been. David had seen great things. God laid this burden on his heart. He laid this vision on his heart. God said, hey, I'm not going to use you. I want that legacy you had for your children. I want him to be the one. You see, leaving a legacy, to leave a lasting legacy, you have to be proactive, not reactive. And I think the truth is most of us live a reactive life. We're just trying to survive. We're just adapting and trying to make it. But in this concept of knowing your core values, in this concept, as we said, if you don't define what you value will define you. So if you don't be proactive and say, this is what's going to be important in my life, then instead, the other is going to take place. Because let me tell you something. What you do in moderation, your kids, those you have influence over, they're going to do in excess. What you do in moderation, they do in excess. So you got to make that decision and say, what do I value? What legacy am I leaving behind? We see this scripturally as a principle God laid out to his children, the children of Israel. Exodus 10:2 says, you'll be able to tell all the wonderful stories, your children, your grandchildren, about the marvelous things I am doing among the Egyptians to prove that I am the Lord. Deuteronomy 4:9 says, but watch out, be careful. Never forget to yourself what you've seen. Do not let the memories escape from your mind as long as you live, and you'll be sure to pass them on to your children and your grandchildren. This is a legacy you're leaving behind. What are you leaving? So well, I don't have kids yet. Okay, well, are you proactive? Are you preparing for when you do? What legacy are you leaving behind the people you have influence over, the people you know, the friends in your life? Because the truth is all of us have influence. It's just a matter of how are you exercising, how are you using that? If you want to find fulfillment, if you want to fill your tank, then you've got to define what your core values are. Because if you don't define them, they will define you. And you'll find yourself running at a breakneck speed. And the things that you love the most are the things that you give the least amount of time. And you're living at the tyranny of the urgent, forgetting about what's truly important. So what are your core areas? What are yours? Do you know them? Maybe it's God. Maybe it's family. Maybe you have some of the same ones that God's been speaking to me. Maybe you can relate. Have you defined them? Because if you haven't defined them, they will define you. If you have defined them, are they simply just a mission statement that you've written down? Are they just simply something there that you say, oh, it's there? Or are you allowing them to guide your life? Are you allowing them to bring structure to your life? Are you allowing them to produce growth in your life? Because if they're just simply words, you're not going to find the fulfillment. But when you begin to say, Lord, I'm going to put these structures in my life and I'm going to live them out, that's when you begin to see your tank beginning to fill. Why? Because you're taking out, you're purging. Remember that we talked about a couple weeks ago. You're purging the areas of your life that do not have importance, and you're putting disciplines in your life that do. And that's where you discover health. Let's close your eyes this morning and just process and think about what God is speaking. If you're here today, maybe you're tired, you're weary, you're going 100 miles an hour, and you realize that that your values, the things, urgent things in your life, they're defining you. That you're just living at a breakneck speed trying to survive. And you recognize that this is not God's design, this is not God's plan. And today you're wanting that peace. Can I tell you something that only comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ? Because you can seek a lot of things in this world, but you're going to come up empty. It's when you connect with Him is when you discover peace, joy, hope, love. That's where it comes from. And if you're here this morning and you don't know Christ, maybe you had a relationship with Him one time, but you know what? You just walked away. Life's been crazy. It's distractions of life have pushed you away. Today, He's speaking to you saying, hey, come home. Put me first in your life. Give me a priority. If that's you this morning, I want to pray with you right where you're sitting. I'm going to call you out, embarrass you. I just want to pray with you right today, right where you're sitting. With no one looking around, I just want you, if you're here today and you're saying, hey, I want Christ in my life. Maybe for the first time, maybe you're just rededicating your life to Him. But today you're saying, today I want to make a change. With no one looking around, I just want you to make eye contact with me. I want to pray with you right where you're sitting. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Anybody else? Praise God. Amen. In Romans chapter 10, His word says, if you confess with your mouth and believe that He is Lord, then you're saved. The confession is simply a prayer of confessing your sin and saying, Lord, forgive me. And confessing that He is Lord. Belief comes with an action. It's what you do. It's your next step. Saying, okay, God, I'm going to follow You. I'm going to choose to follow You. I'm going to get connected to the body. I'm going to get connected to You. We're going to pray right now. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Those of you that responded, I want you just to simply make this your personal prayer today. And as you do, I believe God's going to respond. He's going to meet you right where you are. But I'm going to ask that everybody pray this. As we said, we're not singling anybody out. But we're all going to pray this together. If you have accepted Christ, let it be a reminder of what God's done in your life. But let's all pray together. And if you have made that decision today, then make this your prayer. But let's join together today and pray. Say, dear Jesus, I come to You today. And I ask You to forgive me of my sins. I believe that You died for me and rose again for me. And now today, I choose to live for You. In Jesus' name, amen. It's that simple. You made that prayer, you confessed, you believed, then you are saved. The next step is connecting to the body, getting connected. You can see Pastor Wendy in the back in the Resource Center. We have a Connect You class we'd love you to connect with. If you've been coming to the Crossing for a while, or maybe you're checking it out and you'd like to know, get connected with Connect You. It's not just for new believers. It's for everyone. It's walking that journey of what it means to become a disciple that makes disciples for Christ. When we see God's Word, we see the Great Commandment, the Great Commission. Those are two key fundamental areas. And it's a way for you to connect to the body and begin to know each other and build this life and this family that we live together. But before we close today, I want to say a prayer over you, because I know how hard it is. I know how the struggles that you face. I face them too. I know the times when you're tired, you're just trying to survive. Like I said, there are seasons of life. When you have young kids, let's be real. What's a clean house, right? What structure? You're just like, let me just live and make it. I can promise you, if you have toddlers, it gets better, right? It's going to get easier. I can promise you that. But it's seasons of life. But I know some of you, you're tired and you just need the Lord to touch you today. But I want to challenge you. As we said it, what are your core areas? If you haven't defined them, they'll define you. Do that this week. But I want to pray a prayer over you that God would just strengthen you, that He would help you to say, you know what, Lord, I'm going to put my values, I'm not just going to write them down, but I'm going to live them out. I'm going to put them in my life where they can bring, Lord, healing and refreshing and strength and energy back in my soul. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank for each and every person here today. Lord, you see, Lord, those that are here, Lord, there are moms here today that are just tired. Lord, they're wore out. They need your touch. Lord, I pray today that you would give them energy, that you would strengthen them, Lord, help them in their walk. There are dads here, Lord, that are just tired. They feel like all they do is work and they just can't get ahead. Lord, I pray today that you would just give them energy, give them strength. Let them feel your power in their lives to know that you care for them and you love them, and that you're here to give them strength, to fill their tank with energy. We thank you. We praise you for what you're doing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.